Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. There has been a flood of pandemic information coming out just this week. More on the Delta variant. Questions about booster shots, returning to school in the fall for teachers and students, workers returning to work. So much to think about, and even more that's a bit confusing. But joining me to straighten it all out is Dr. Reid Tuckson, co-founder of the Black Coalition Against COVID-19. And of course, our listeners, I'm sure you have questions and comments. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can also tweet me at HFisherWHUR or follow me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Tuckson, thanks for joining the conversation again.
Great to be with you and your listeners.
So let us talk about the latest information coming out today. The CDC putting out new guidance about masks in school, saying students who aren't vaccinated, don't have to wear masks in the fall unless they're riding on the school bus. Now, the unvaccinated students and staff should wear masks at all times. But then, these are certainly guidelines. They say, the CDC says this isn't mandatory and that schools and districts may set their own policies. That's a lot to ingest. Your thoughts about that?
Well, first of all, what it is clearly saying above all are two major messages. Number one, that vaccination works and being unvaccinated is dangerous. Number two, what it is saying is that that there is a real need, and we all recognize, to have our kids back in school, no more so than in the African-American community, and that it is inevitable that we've got to get our kids back to school. And hopefully the instruction and the guidance about the importance of vaccination will cause children 12 and up to go ahead and get vaccinated, and it will spur that forward. Lastly, the reason they had to be so cautious about it is that the politics of COVID are so intense across the country in different communities. And I think that they really recognize that there's almost no way through the politics and the organization and authority over school boards is so tenuous that they could only make recommendations. Local communities are going to do what they will do.
Well, I think you spoke about this very issue, because from the very beginning, this has been called a public health issue by the scientists, yourself included. And yet we have seen just a day or so ago that Tennessee lawmakers were chastising state health officials and about the teen vaccine events. And as a result, they stopped these vaccine events where, you know, we've seen across the country and even in this area that state and local health officials have tried to promote teenagers getting the vaccine. The state of Maryland, the governor offering scholarships for young people between the ages of 12 and 17. The scholarship lottery, if you get, you know, vaccinated. But as we've seen in Tennessee, the politics are playing out.
Yeah, I think that two issues come clearly to mind. Number one is we know that the national data and national statistics are important at one level. But what's really important is where you live. What is the presence of the virus? And now, particularly, what is the presence of the new Delta variant? So you want to know how present is it in your community and how much of a risk is it for you to be living in your community, vaccinated or not? And then secondly, what it is pointing out is that, as you have indicated, that COVID has become such a political issue. And so that the local politics of a particular community can override common sense and good judgment. And so you have to look at both issues, the prevalence of the virus in your community where you live and what are the local politics, and that will give you the equation to let you know what's actually going to happen in that environment.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are doing another COVID-19 update, latest information coming out this week. Some of it not the easiest to understand. We're trying to break it all down. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call again at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So here's something else that is of concern. At the height of the pandemic, we heard public servants saying that COVID knows no boundaries. There is no boundary between Montgomery and Prince George's County. There is no boundary between Maryland, D.C., and Virginia. There is no boundary between Mississippi and Alabama as far as infection rates are concerned. And yet, the CDC is saying that these guidelines regarding students and staff should be set by school districts. They can make their own policies. Is there a science to that?
No, I think it's a political reality to it. At the end of the day, the CDC doesn't have the authority to mandate. And so they're trying to be very careful. They're trying to give you the information that you need, but they can't demand it or require it because they don't have that kind of authority. And so they have to be somewhat cautious. Also, what they're trying to do, whether it is the right strategy or not, they're trying to thread the needle, because when they start making things mandates, then the pushback is so strong. It's the same thing as if you were to be in a work environment and the employer was to mandate that everyone has to be vaccinated. The pushback is so strong and so vitriolic that you lose perhaps some of the people that you might have a chance to encourage to make the self-directed decision to become vaccinated. So everything is put, unfortunately, with this COVID pandemic in a political or emotional environment. And that's just too bad. Because, Harold, what that means, and I think what your frustration that's in your question is getting to, is a sense of, when do we just focus on truth? When do we focus on science? When do we focus on facts? But COVID has now become a football for everybody in our society to either play politics or to use it as a conspiracy theory of the day or other political agendas. And so it gets very, very confused. I hope at the end of the day that people will continue to look for facts, ask for information from trusted sources, do their homework, and then people will make the decisions that they will make. But I hope that their people are not making decisions based on political posturing or on conspiracy theories and information from Pookie on the internet.
I wasn't ready for that. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking to Dr. Reed Tuckson, co-founder of the Black Coalition Against COVID-19. Lots of information coming out today about the pandemic, about vaccines, about restrictions, again, lifting, masking, and the like. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Okay, next point. 2 days ago, Pfizer said that it was looking into a third booster shot, the development of a third booster shot, getting permission from the FDA about emergency authorization. Yesterday, the CDC and the FDA said that fully vaccinated Americans don't need a COVID-19 booster shot at this time. What does that mean to you? Because even with authorization, Pfizer was suggesting that a third booster shot would not be available until late fall.
It is a very important point. Number one, we do not know yet how long the duration of the immunity will last for those who have immunity from the disease itself, and then how long your immunity will ultimately last from those who have had the shots. We are learning more about that. We know that you have a longer period of immunity protection from the shot than you do from having gotten the disease. So that's important. But we don't know fully yet how long. Number two, what we don't know is how devastating the new Delta variant will be. The Delta variant is a significant and frightening development. And it is not the only variant of significance, but this one is of real concern. And so the question will be is, can we get enough people vaccinated to make sure that we stamp out not only the original virus, but also the new Delta one before the Delta one has a chance to evolve and evade the capacity of our vaccines. And so what we are ultimately getting to, Harold, is that as of right now, we don't think we need the booster shot yet. However, it is very comforting to know that it is being manufactured so that when and if we need it, it will be available. So stay tuned to further developments on that score. The worst thing would be is if they were not developing boosters so that if we needed them, they would not be available. Let's have the supply there if we need it. But at the end of the day, we won't need it if we can get enough people vaccinated and stamp this thing out. Unfortunately, we're a long way from getting to enough people vaccinated, particularly in the African American community and in the Trump Republican evangelical crowd.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about COVID-19, another update as new information comes out this week. Marissa, calling from Alexandria, Virginia. Marissa, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, yes. I have a question. What are the side effects for those getting the vaccine if you are overweight?
Thank you for that question. There really are no special side effects for someone getting any of these vaccines if they're overweight. It would be the same as any of the kinds of concerns that people have, and not even really concerns, but the soreness, sometimes with headache, fatigue, and so forth. But it's nothing special about being overweight. And in fact, because we know that being overweight is a significant risk factor for not doing well if you get the virus, people who are overweight should be very much in the line to get vaccinated so that you can protect yourself.
Marissa, have you been vaccinated?
No, I'm signing up this Wednesday. I'm getting it this Wednesday.
Oh, congratulations. So what changed your mind?
My mom, she has cancer, and I'm looking to become a teacher, so I know I need it.
Interesting. Well, yeah. Good luck to you, Marissa, and I would love to hear how you're doing after you get your shot. So hang in there. We appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Tuckson, you spoke about the Delta variant and why it is particularly troubling. Can you, in layman's terms, break down exactly why the Delta variant is different from what we've seen before and what makes it so much more dangerous?
What we need to understand is it is a natural phenomenon for things like viruses to mutate, to change. Sometimes those changes are meaningless. Sometimes those changes make the virus less effective. But unfortunately, sometimes it makes the virus much more effective. And that's what this Delta variant that was first discovered and associated with India. And everyone in your audience is literate and informed enough to have seen what happened in India and how devastating it was and still is. And we're seeing now across the world countries that were open having to now close again because the Delta strain is prevalent in their environments. Here in the United States, unfortunately, we now know this week that the Delta strain is now the dominant strain in the United States. It is particularly frightening because it has the propensity not only to double more rapidly, but it is the most contagious version of the coronavirus worldwide. It spreads 225% faster than the original version of the virus. It also infects people much more with much more greater copies of the virus in our respiratory tract than those that from the original virus. So what this means is that that people are getting much, much sicker because there's so much more virus in our respiratory tracts causing people not to be able to breathe. And that's why you're seeing such devastation around the world. And then finally, we know that if someone who catches the Delta variant, that they will become infectious sooner. 4 days now it takes to for that to reach infectious levels compared to 6 days in the original. So all of that data, Harold, if you just boil it down to one simple, understandable sentence, is that this Delta variant is much easier to get, much easier to transmit, becomes infectious much more easier, and when you get it, it is extremely dangerous because it replicates much, much more often inside of the places that you don't want it, which is inside of your respiratory tract. This is a serious and scary issue, and now we're seeing in L.A. County, the black community in L.A. County is suffering desperately from this. We're seeing it in Missouri, and we're seeing other parts of the country where these outbreaks are now getting very serious. Look around the world, and you get a sense of what we may be up against.
And speaking of Missouri, one of the reports that we've seen this week is that there is a COVID-19 surge. 50% of all new cases in Missouri are of the Delta variant, and 90% of all new COVID deaths are COVID variant in Missouri. So that is particularly frightening because Missouri this week is starting to look like New York a year ago.
That is exactly it. And that means that we have some decisions that we have to make, which are going to be difficult.
Yeah.
And what I would say to people, again, where, depending on where you are and you keep tracking these numbers and these statistics to see how common it is, it may even be advisable for people even who are vaccinated in certain environments to start wearing their masks when they're indoors, like in a restaurant or other places, because I think there's now people are starting to make decisions personally out of an abundance of caution.
Hold that point. I've got Sheila and Kenya on the line from D.C. Sheila and Kenya, do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program, and I am going to answer your questions next. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. This discussion continues in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Harold Fisher. We're back with a COVID-19 update, and boy, do we need it. With all of the new information just coming out this week, my guest is Dr. Reed Tuckson, co-founder of the Black Coalition Against COVID-19. If you have any comments or questions, lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Certainly, you're welcome to tweet me at H Fisher, W-H-U-R, or hit me up on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Let me go to Sheila calling from D.C. Sheila, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I was listening to, is he a doctor? The guy's talking.
Yes, Dr. Reed. Dr. Reed Tuckson. He is co-founder of the Black Coalition Against COVID-19.
Right. So my comment was this. First of all, that we know this variant is bad. So why are you opening everything up so freely, like no mask, and all this other stuff when you know it's a deadly disease out there waiting to happen. That's my concern. And then, Dr. Reed, you talk about the black community. There's a lot of blacks taking a lot of black people taking a shot. And then I talked to a couple, I'm African-American, I'm black American myself, and they say, one guy says to me, when they start giving black folks something free. And it's not funny, but it is a lot of people in the black community taking the shot, and some people just not taking it. That's just in the black community. But my
Chiba, I really appreciate
how many people has died from taking the shot?
None.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Dr. Tuxin.
People are not dying from taking the vaccine. 600,000 Americans have died from the disease. 4 million people have died worldwide. But we actually are not differing in our opinion. So let me be real clear. We're on the same page. Number one, your first point, which was critical, which is that people, the society is opening up again, and we need to be concerned. The guidance
right.
from the CDC, which I agree with you and with the CDC, is if you are vaccinated, you can go out and about without your mask if you're vaccinated. Unfortunately, a lot of people, in fact, it seems like a majority of many people, have decided that even if they are not vaccinated, they're going to go out and about without their mask. And when you are walking in your city streets or in your store, you have no idea whether the unmasked person standing in front of you is vaccinated or not. And that puts a danger for everybody. So I completely agree with you. Number two, I also think we should celebrate your point that many African Americans, I'm so proud of those who are vaccinated, and that is important. The danger that I'm saying, Sheila, and the concern is that we as a people are way behind the rest of the nation in our rate of being vaccinated. We are very, very different. So this disease, COVID, is becoming a disease of two nations, the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. And the overwhelming majority of people who are unvaccinated are African Americans and Trump Republicans. So we just need to make sure that I don't want to be in that country of the with that other crowd. So we have still work to do. But Sheila, thank you for your point, and you and I don't disagree at all.
Yeah.
But let me say one thing.
Sure, go ahead, Sheila.
Now, you got some people that are vaccinated, like myself. I'm vaccinated, but I don't get sick. I could be around you, could have the flu, pneumonia, whatever. I'm not going to get it. I don't catch it. My grandmother died at 90, never been sick. That's why they probably got to use it or lose it. And my mother is 80, 81 right now. She's never had been sick. Regular physicals, things like that. Oh, you know, when you get old, little stuff like that, health problems. But we've never been sick. So let's say the person takes the shot has never been sick, but is a carrier. It doesn't matter if you take the shot or not. He's still a harbor. He's going to harbor all those flus, all those things, and never get sick, but pass them on. What about that person?
Did you hear her, Dr. Tuxin?
I do, and I think that if I understand her point, and I think it's a very good point, is that what she seems to be indicating is that sometimes people think that they are immune to diseases. And, of course, we know that 4 million people around the world have already shown that they are not immune to this disease. And even they felt, many of them, I'm sure, that they were healthy. But the real point that she makes is critical, and that is we may be carrying this virus in our bodies and breathing it out when we breathe or talk or sing or scream around other people. And what she's getting at is we have a moral responsibility to the people who we live amongst and interact amongst. And for black people, given the segregated worlds that we live in, black folks congregate so overwhelmingly with other black people. And so what she seems to be worried about, and I agree, is that unknowingly we will be infecting people who are other black folk who we are around. And therefore, if you are not vaccinated, that's why you need to take the advice and continue to wear your mask so that you don't make somebody else sick inadvertently.
Right.
And that is a
right.
wonderful point.
And before I let you go, one point, Sheila, that I find, particularly interesting, and this isn't so much about COVID, but it is about getting sick when you're talking about viral-related illnesses. One of my dearest friends, we had this debate 2 years ago about the flu shot, and she's 55 years old, she was at the time, and she says, I've never had the flu, never gotten the flu shot, never had the flu. I said, well, you know, good for you. Well, then I guess you don't have anything to worry about. Until she got sick last year, and she had to go to the doctor. She said she absolutely felt terrible, and she was reluctant to tell me, but I kept pressing her, are you okay? What, you know, what's wrong? And she said, you're not going to believe this. And I said, what? And she said, I have the flu. And never having had it before, that's what the doctor told her, that she, you know, she had the flu. And I say that, it's wonderful that, you know, your mother has never been sick, you have never been sick, and other members of your family have never been sick. But it's almost like, these diseases out here, they almost hear you. I say that tongue in, right. I say that tongue in cheek, and I would never want to wish that on anyone.
Right.
I don't want you to call me next week, Sheila, and say, Harold, guess what?
Come on now.
Yeah,
I'd be mad at myself.
I would be, but you stay in good health, Sheila, and thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Kenya calling from DC. Thanks for hanging on, Kenya. What's on your mind?
Hi. Okay, so my personal opinion, it seems as if it's like a segregation with people who's vaccinated and for the people who's not vaccinated. It seems like it's going to start a way bigger thing than just that, as well as a lot of people who have been vaccinated are still catching COVID. So even those people go out and not cover their face or not wear a mask, other people are still at risk because who knows if they have COVID or not. Still vaccinated.
She said quite a bit. Dr. Tuckson, her first, can you address, her issue about the apparent segregation, as she puts it, for people who have been vaccinated versus those who have not been? And I think to that point, and this is something we need to discuss further as well, if you're going back to school in the fall, if your child has been vaccinated, they don't have to wear a mask. If the teacher or staff has been vaccinated, they don't have to. But if you haven't been, then they say you should wear it. I think that's just one of the things that she's talking about, it, and that opens up a whole nother can of worms, which I am prepared to talk about as well. But can you address what Kenya was saying, Dr. Tuckson?
Well, first and foremost, when we think about things like using words like segregation, that sounds like political moves and so forth and so on. The COVID virus doesn't care about politics or segregating. It basically is saying, if you are not vaccinated, I am going to have a very great chance of infecting you and I may kill you, particularly with the Delta variant. So the notion that we need to have people put into two groups, those who are protected from the virus and those that are not, is a function not of public policy or anybody making a horrible decision. What it is a function of the way that that biology works. And so that's really what that's about. I think that her other point is that some people who have been vaccinated have also gotten sick again from COVID. It is true that there are a small number of people who have been exposed to COVID and have gotten ill with COVID-19. But what the difference is, they are not being so sick that they are significantly incapacitated or needing to be hospitalized or dying. Ninety-nine point 2% of all the people that are in hospitals in America today from COVID are people who are unvaccinated. 99.2% or more of the people who are in hospitals today in America because of COVID are from unvaccinated people.
Go ahead, Kenya.
Okay, there was also like some people who got the COVID shot and died. This is the other thing with the other lady was saying. That got the second dose and then they died.
People are not dying from getting the COVID vaccine. That is not true. There have been people who have gotten some syndromes. For example, we know that there have been people who have gotten mild inflammation of the heart. Very, very rare, but it has occurred. But also know that more people by significant orders of magnitude have gotten the same thing because of the virus, not because of the vaccine. But we have got to stop this. There are 4 million people who are dead around the world, 600,000 in the United States alone. And let's just keep that in mind when we start to think about some of the rare side effects from the vaccine.
And to that point, Kenya, and that I don't know whether or not you heard.
No, I heard.
What I was saying earlier, and the reason that I brought up the issue of Missouri, because I used to live in Missouri years ago, and so, you know, that's one of those clutch my pearls kind of situations, because, as Dr. Tuckson said, you know, half of the people with COVID in Missouri this week are infected with the Delta variant. But as he said, almost 100% of the people who have died of COVID over the past, several weeks are unvaccinated. They didn't get the shot. And they ended up in the hospital.
So what does the world do when these people are still not going to take the shot?
That is such
a lot of people who are not going to take that.
Yeah, and you brought up a question that I was going to ask as it relates to vaccine hesitancy and resistance. Dr. Tuckson, that is still something that this country is struggling with. Messaging, as we talked about at the top of the show, from the FDA, the CDC, and even from the Biden administration, is still, you know, problematic. And so it's a rhetorical question. But, yeah, what do we do for those who don't take the shot?
Well, and we're going to have to, first of all, continue to reach out with love and compassion to those who are still hesitant. We have to make sure that we're answering their questions with good science, and science that is understandable and relevant to their concern. We're going to have to continue to fight against the pernicious social media anti-vaxxers who take every opportunity to try to foment mischief and confusion in our community. And then we're going to have to decide that we make vaccination easy to be done. I'm involved now with the White House and several others with our barbershops and beauty salons. Making sure that they are, I have opportunities to not only provide factual and trustworthy information, but our vaccine centers themselves. And we've got almost 1,000 barbershops and salons around the country who have signed up to participate in a program that we're doing with University of Maryland, with Shea Moisture Company, and the White House. We're going to have to use every opportunity, our faith-based organizations, our vaccine centers. But we have a lot of work to do. And what happens if we don't? If we don't, then we will see what you're seeing in L.A. County right now for the black community in L.A. County, where now they are being significantly devastated by this disease. And then what we will find out also is that if we don't get ahead of this, not only will we have the variant, the Delta variant, but we'll have other variants that will continue to take advantage of this unvaccinated population and then continue to spread death and disease throughout our community. If you really have a love for black people, I think you really have to decide that we will do what we need to do. By the way, let me just make sure we understand, for black LA, coronavirus cases and hospitalizations there are really getting so significant that between the middle of May and the middle of June, just in that two-week period, the number of cases for black folks rose 18%, while it declined for every other part of the community. It rose 18%, declined 25% for Asian Americans. The hospitalization rate for black residents in L.A., and this is all with the Delta variants, increased by 11%, decreased for everybody else. So you can see we're having these natural experiments that cut through all the confusion and the nonsense and the anti-vaxxers rhetoric. We're seeing it right in front of our eyes. We're seeing it in India. We're seeing it in Australia. We're seeing it in Indonesia. It's right there in front of us. The difference between being vaccinated and not is plainly in front of us.
Before I let you go, Kenya, have you been vaccinated? Kenya, are you there?
Yes, I'm still here. Yeah.
Have you been vaccinated?
I choose not to answer that.
Okay. What kind of work do you do?
So, yeah, I mean, we wouldn't have to with anything.
Well, the reason, this is why I ask. Because if you haven't been vaccinated, and depending on, have you been working from home during the pandemic?
Yes.
Do you use, pre-pandemic, did you work from home?
Yeah, but my whole point behind this is there was still other diseases like the flu, Ebola, all this stuff. Like, why is it that COVID-19, they're like literally giving people money or whatever and all this stuff just to take it. It just seems a little like,
so let me,
pause.
So that's, you bring up a really interesting point about Ebola, and I want Dr. Tuckson to tackle that too. But let's not miss my point. Also, by the way, Karen from Baltimore, don't hang up. We're going to pick you up in just a bit. But Kenya is raising a lot of points that a lot of people are thinking about. The reason why I asked you whether or not you had been vaccinated, the reason why I asked you whether or not you worked from home during the pandemic and whether or not you did beforehand, because as you may or may not have heard in listening even to the newscast today, D.C. government workers have to come back to work on Monday. And last month, 153 staff members, medical staff members at Houston Methodist Hospital were fired because they didn't take the vaccine. They had a choice. Take the vaccine and keep your jobs, you know, or don't. There's a lawsuit pending. That certainly is another conversation. But the reality is, and I think this is demonstrated by D.C. government workers having to come back to work on Monday. 3 days, that's 3 days from now. And there are going to be certain things that are put in place. But I think, you know, the reality is that to protect yourself, there are some decisions that you may have to make in order to make sure that you are safe outside of any things that are put in place by whomever you work for. And this isn't just about D.C. government. There are employees for private industry and managers and administrators that are literally trying to figure out how to bring people back to work. Students in college, whether it's Howard, University of Maryland, GW, Georgetown, Stanford, Hampton, Morehouse. Everybody's coming back to school in the fall. And these are the kinds of things that and the thing about, you know, schools, if you're going to come back, you got to get the shot or else you can't come back.
And that's where a lot of confusion is going to come in, cuz a lot of people are not going to do that.
Yeah. So, but I appreciate,
like, what happens after that? That's the big scary question. That's the real question. Like, what happens after that when people just really don't do it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
are not getting COVID or however, but I'm just saying, like, what happens after that?
Well, the thing I think, as Dr. Tuckson said, the thing that has been most scary for me is that, to be quite frank, you know, people dropping like flies over the past 16 months or so. There's nothing scarier than that. One quick other point, and that you brought up, Dr. Tuckson, why didn't we have the kind of Ebola problem? Why didn't we have an Ebola problem like we had a COVID-19 problem here? What was the difference?
The main difference is the transmissibility of the viral particle. Ebola was, while it certainly caused significant illness in those who got it, it was not as nearly as transmissible as the COVID viruses are. And that's just the difference. It's just the ability of it to be transmitted across human beings. And so we were fortunate. And also we had good surveillance systems here and good effort by our public health agencies. But this COVID virus is so easily transmissible. And because the Delta variant is multiple times easily transmittable, that's why we're having the problem with it that we're having.
Kenya, thank you so much. I love when we have thinking people call this program. I really, really do. Kenya, definitely one of those. Be safe. Thank you so much. Let me go to Karen. Karen calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling, Karen. What's on your mind?
Thank you so much. I wanted to ask the doctor, I have a family member who has health issues, plus she takes the EpiPen. Her primary care doctor told her not to take the vaccine. She asked her husband's neurologist his opinion. He said, you do whatever your primary care doctor says. I'm not going to go above him. So she wrote a letter to the CDC asking for guidance. They never answered her. What is your suggestion?
There are some people who do have a serious enough reaction to foreign agents that they have to take extreme caution. And it sounds like in this case, because they need the EpiPen, and because of the overwhelming concern by her treating physician that she may be one of the very, very few people in the country who shouldn't take it, I certainly am not going to, on the radio, overturn or suggest that the primary care doctor is wrong. What I would do is to go back to your primary care doctor now that we, in terms of where we are at this stage, and ask again whether or not they feel that the risk-benefit ratio, the risk of a bad thing happening versus the benefit overall, whether that risk-benefit ratio remains such that they don't want her to do it. I don't know how long ago that advice was given her. But you know, we're getting more and more data every day about people who have this pre-existing, very serious propensity to anaphylactic or allergic reactions to injections. And so I would go back to the primary care doctor and just ask again, are they really sure, based on the new data that's out, whether that is a guidance that should occur? But I'm certainly not going on the radio to try to overturn the advice of two of your physicians in this particular case. But the point I want to drive home to the rest of the audience is that we are that this is a very small group of people who we are being very cautious about receiving the vaccine. But overwhelmingly, this vaccine is not only extraordinarily safe, but also extraordinarily effective.
Thank you so much for your phone call, Karen. Let's go to Candace calling from Virginia. Candace, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I just want to say a few things. So first, I wear a mask even though I'm vaccinated. I double mask because I just really feel like we just opened too soon, and it concerns me. I have friends that are all over the world, and right now a lot of them are back in lockdown because of the Delta variant. And so I'm talking to them, and I'm extremely concerned. And so when I do go out in public, which isn't often, I either, you know, go out in the middle of the night, or I just like double mask if I have to go out, which isn't very often. And I just feel like if they offer this booster shot, I'm going to get it. I don't care what it takes. I'm just going to go ahead and get it. Because I think that it's something that's going to help protect, because I do think, just based off of my friends that live overseas, that there's going to be another mass infection that's going to happen. And it's just sad that, like, in our country, we have vaccinations that are available, and they're begging people to do it. And then overseas, people are begging for vaccinations that just aren't available because they just don't have access to it.
Dr. Tuckson?
What a great, great point. First of all, let me say that if you decide that you're going to wear your mask, even vaccinated, out of a preponderance of caution, I can't argue with you at all. And I would say to you, go right ahead. And I know many people who are like you who will do that. But I want to also say on the other side of that is, for those of you who have heard the message that if you are vaccinated, that you can pretty much resume your normal life, that is also important. I don't want people to think at this moment that if you become vaccinated, you still have to always wear your mask. What we are saying is you can have the family reunion if you're vaccinated. You can have your adolescent kids playing sports if they're vaccinated safely and have sleepovers, and you can have the family cookout. You can have your life back if you are vaccinated. However, there will be many people like you, and I cannot argue with you at all, who will decide to have a belt and suspenders approach to life. The other thing that you raised, though, is extremely important for the black community. In Africa, we are seeing now this disease spreading there and people dying without having access to the vaccines. Where here in the United States, we've got people throwing away vaccine doses because they've expired because we don't have enough people left who want to take them. And so there is this incredible mismatch around the world between the rich countries and the poor countries. Poor countries are begging for vaccine doses to save their people from the devastation that we again see in places like India. They're begging in Africa for doses. Here in the United States, we're so rich that we have doses that we don't even use. There's got to be some addressing of that. And I'm so glad that our caller has raised this issue. It's a moral issue about our obligation as a rich country to countries where our brothers and sisters are who are poor and need support. The Biden administration is doing something about that. They are addressing it, but there's a long way to go to protect the health of our brothers and sisters on the continent.
Candace, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. I appreciate your time. Stay safe, stay healthy. Dr. Tuckson, I want to thank you also for, again, spending some time lending not only your medical expertise, but also your passion to this really important discussion. And as always, we will be talking to you soon.
Thank you so much. And it's a great pleasure to be with your audience.
All righty. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, July 9th. For news director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bermonte Bryan, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Good night, everyone, and have a wonderful weekend.